so that believers can use them. Sometimes we hear older believers say, now this is a little message for the young people. Here's a comment for the young people. And first, would you say that it's a little insulting for the young people, don't you think? Like, you young people, you've been sitting here for 45 minutes. I know you haven't understood a thing. But finally, here's a little crumb. I'll throw you a little crust, you know. Hope you enjoy it. And then we'll go back to our other stuff that none of you will understand because you're too, you know, incapable. But actually, can I tell you the truth? Most of the time when somebody says, here's a message for the young people, the whole rest of the audience says, please, I've been waiting for something that all of us can use. Often when it's said, here's a message for the young people, 95% of those who have been trying to reach up to this high stuff up here, it's not all being presented as teaching that we can use. Discipling involves teaching that we can use. Now, the scriptures present several different ways in which believers grow. I'm just going to link that with discipleship, and you might find more. But where you find the words increase or abound or even the word grow itself, things like faith. The disciples came to the Lord. Increase our faith. We should teach new believers and believers we are discipling, we should teach them what it is to live with faith, to increase our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by fear. We live by faith and not by doubt. We live by faith and not by works. We live by faith and not by law. What does it mean to increase in faith? What does it mean to increase in wisdom? We should grow in wisdom as believers. We should help those we are discipling to grow in wisdom, to grow in endurance, to grow, yes, in knowledge. What is the knowledge of God that a believer needs to understand? What are the characteristics of God? What does it mean that God is sovereign? What does it mean that God exercises grace? What does it mean to be justified with God? What is the impact on a believer to know what it means to be justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses? To teach believers what it means to be sanctified, and not in the ways we are accustomed to hearing it, right? What's the first definition? I bet I could tell you. I say sanctified, give a definition in your thoughts, sanctified. You say set apart, right? Which is great. Sure, that's the definition. What does that mean? Here's a new believer. Well, you should be sanctified. Okay, what does that mean? You should be set apart. I still don't know what that means if you're a new believer. Explain, teach the impact and the meaning of the scriptures. To grow in love. To grow in giving financially. This is an aspect of spiritual growth. So when we are have the desire, when we are really grasped by the commission of the Lord Jesus, who says, go disciple everyone, we hear these two aspects, baptizing them, identifying them with him, and teaching them so that there is growth. And growth collectively also, although that's not precisely perhaps discipleship on an individual level, but discipleship is not going to isolate someone else, because it is going to teach them that we are part of a Christian community. The pictures of the Christian community are pictures of a house, a building where every brick in the building, every stone in the building is alive, and God is putting the stones in to his house. And where in Acts chapter 16, it says that the assemblies themselves were multiplied. That is to say, the locations. There were more places where people were gathering together. Not just growth in a place, but growth in a region. Acts 16 verse 5, I believe, is the reference for that that scenario. To teach new believers that they are part of that process. They are contributors in that process. We need you in that process. You need others, but others need you. And then just two closing little reminders. One is persistence is required. So baptizing them, teaching them, but with persistence, because the results are not about us. The Lord Jesus had results that might have looked discouraging. We've had it already this week. John chapter 6, many went away. You just keep on discipling if many go away. The Lord said in John chapter 4, he said to the disciples, other men have labored and you have entered into their labors. Do you know, if you have a chance to disciple someone and then they go somewhere where they're receiving spiritual food from someone else, guess what? You're the other people in that verse. Other men, some men labored and you have entered into their labors. Well, we just love it when we're entering into the labors and we get a chance to work with someone for extended time. Sometimes we're the first line and the Lord will use someone else to feed them. That's okay. The Lord knows what he's about. And then besides persistence, to be grasped and enthralled by the joy of seeing spiritual growth. It was mentioned earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the crown of rejoicing. If he would see the Thessalonians standing at the judgment seat of Christ, that's my crown of rejoicing. And in chapter 3, we live if you stand fast in the Lord. This is my life, says Paul, to see believers making progress. We must be gripped with this, so that we live out all the truth that we've dreamt. And perhaps your friends will meet your conduct with doubt and the world with contempt. But let's live that life of consistent discipleship, plodding ahead, never turning aside. And we will bring glory to the Lord Jesus, who is worthy of all praise and honor.